This morning's text is Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 1, and I'm going to read down to verse 11. Give attention to God's word. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. It's going to be our reading this morning. And our text verse this morning is going to be from verse 10. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The words, that I may know him and resurrection power, are coming to my mind as I read this lesson text this morning, written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi, and he begins with a warning against false teaching. Some of you might not like dogs, but he wasn't actually referring to dogs. He was referring to false teachers, those that would come in among the church and would teach that the faith was about religious ceremony or good works, and that that was how to get to heaven. He warned them to be careful about those that would come in and teach the church that Christianity, that the faith of God, was about religion. Because we don't put our stock in a religion, but in a relationship and in resurrection power. And the Apostle Paul said that he was probably among all of the people that he had reason to boast. He had a lot of the religious pedigree, as it were. He said that he was, that if there was anyone that should have confidence in the flesh, he might be a good candidate. Some of the things he mentioned here, he was circumcised the eighth day, which was a requirement of the law. He was of the stock of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he was so zealous, he was persecuting the Christian church. He was fighting for the Jewish faith. He said, concerning the law, he was blameless. But then he said, those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Now, this morning, most of us in this room can probably relate that there's a lot of things that we tried to do to earn the favor of God.
Maybe even some of us could say that we thought that they would be good enough to earn God's favor until we came to a place where we knew that we needed a Savior. And those of us that have been saved would say, anything that I thought was a gain to me that would have got me points with God, now I count them but rubbish compared to the excellency of Christ that we might know Him. Amen? Is there anything that you cling to that you say, because of this, I am good? When you come to know the Lord, you begin to realize that those things that you thought were good, even they were insufficient for the favor of God, and that those things are but dung to us, that they are but rubbish to us, and the only thing that matters is that we know Him. Well, that was the context of the lesson this morning, and I want to speak for just a little bit about the excellency or the great privilege to know Jesus and to have resurrection power in our life. You see, Christ, Jesus, is precious to the believer. The reason that we're here is not so that we can get credit for church attendance, but we're here because we want to worship Jesus. He is very precious to us, and He is the one that our heart loves. This morning, we sing because we love Jesus. We raise our families in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord because we love God, because we have come to love Him for who He is, not just what He's done for us, though the list of things He's done for us is so vast. God has been so good to us. But we love Him because of who He is. And to us, He is He's the pearl of great price. Jesus is. One time, Jesus was speaking about the kingdom of heaven, and He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Now, you might not be a collector of pearls, but maybe you collect something. And there's something out there that's coveted in a collection. For me as a kid, it was baseball cards. And there were certain baseball cards that if you were to find them, you would go and sell all of your collection so that you could have that one card. It would be worth it to get rid of everything that you valued to get that one card, or in this case, this pearl of great price. In this case, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is searching for goodly pearls. And he examines them and he looks at them and he finds the best that there is. And when he found this one pearl, he realized that it was so far above it in value that he would go and sell everything that he had to buy that one pearl. Well, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like that. And Jesus is the pearl of great price. There's a lot of things that are good in life, but when we found Him, we said that it was worth it to us to sell everything that we had so that we might know Jesus. Have you ever had a time in your life that you were willing to give everything to know Jesus? Maybe. I'm looking for a little reaction here because I think of God's people. If we've been saved by the grace of God, there was certainly a time in your life where you were spent. You would give anything if you could just know that you knew Him, that you knew that you had eternal life. I'm thankful for the ones that recently joined our church and they became members and they made that public profession through baptism that they've been saved by the grace of God. Every one of those new members through the last week of revival, they came up and they told about a time where they gave all. They surrendered everything and they came to know Jesus. You see, Jesus is worth it. He's the one that we love. If we were to get rid of everything to know Him, it would be a good trade. In fact, There's not enough that we can give up, but he's the pearl of great price. He's the one that we desire. He's the one that our hearts yearn for. Book of Acts, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Why is Jesus so precious to us? Because there's no one else that can save our souls. There's no one else that can forgive us of our sins. There's no one else that can bring us the peace inside that our hearts long for. There's no one else that can give us a promise of eternal life. And there's no one else that can give us life besides Jesus Christ. There is salvation in none other but the name of Jesus Christ. And because of that, he is precious to us. He is one that is the pearl of great price. And the Apostle Paul was basically saying that when he said, you know, I was a religious man. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was a child of Israel. I was of the stock of Israel. I was a Pharisee. I was blameless according to the law. I had everything kind of to my credit. And when I came to know Jesus, I gave it all away. I counted it all but rubbish. My friend, this morning, there needs to be a time in every one of our lives where we come to the point where we give all to know Jesus. Where we surrender all so that we could know him. That's what life is all about. If you go through this whole life and don't know Jesus, it has been a waste. If you go to God before the judge of all the earth, and you did not find his son to be your savior, it is a waste. One time Jesus said, you know, what is the value of a soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What would it profit a man if he gave the whole world and lost his soul? You ever considered that this morning? What would it profit you if you gained the whole world but lost your soul? What if you had everything that life had to offer and you died and went to hell? Or you went before the judge and your testimony was that you rejected his salvation. That you turned it away. You see, when it comes to life, when it comes to salvation, the only thing that matters is that we know Jesus. And that's what Paul was saying here, is that the only thing that mattered to him, he had come to the point in his life where the only thing that mattered to him was that he knew Jesus. That he wanted to not just know him, but he wanted to know him better. That was the only thing that mattered to the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul knew him. I find this, you know, a couple things I find curious is that Paul never did know Jesus, to my knowledge, while Jesus was here. Maybe he did, but I don't have any recollection of that or recording of that where the Apostle Paul knew Jesus when Jesus walked on the earth here. But he knew him. Jesus died, and sometime later, the Apostle Paul came to know Jesus. Isn't that curious? How did he come to know him? Well, he met him on the road to Damascus. But this was after Jesus had died and after Jesus had been said that he rose again, and there was one that was the most ardent enemy of him, and it was Saul of Tarsus. He was so frustrated that people kept talking about the resurrection that he was going to snuff out the church. He was determined to stop Christianity from spreading. And it was in that determination that he came to know Jesus personally. Just wanted to read a couple of verses from Acts chapter 9. This is the same one that wrote the writing that I read to you, Philippians chapter 3. He was Saul of Tarsus at the time, and so when it says Saul, it's referring to Paul. In Acts 9 it says, and As Saul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Or why do you persecute me? And Paul said, or Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now, that language might be hard for you to understand. Basically, what he said was, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus. It is hard for you to continue to kick against the proddings or the goads." And in other words, God had been dealing with his heart. Now, Jesus had died some years past. But yet Jesus was speaking to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. I'm letting that set over you for you to think through this, that Jesus was dead, and then he was speaking to Saul of Tarsus, and then later the Apostle Paul said, "I count everything in my life but rubbish that I may come to know him and the power of his resurrection." Now, Paul knew him, and he knew him after he had been raised from the dead. See, that's just one account, but I just want you to see that the Bible declares that Jesus is alive and he is speaking after he was crucified. Amen. It's so important that we see that he was speaking to where people could understand him after he was crucified, after the spear was put through his side and out come blood and water. He was declared to be dead, but here he is on the road to Damascus alive and speaking to Saul of Tarsus. Here he is 30 years later. The Apostle Paul is saying, the only thing that matters in life is knowing Jesus. Everything that I had in my life before I came to know him was nothing but rubbish. I gave it all up. None of it is to my gain. If there was something on the account of gain for Saul of Tarsus, I count it but rubbish. It goes away for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. My friend, if Paul could come to know him after Jesus was crucified, there's hope that we can come to know him. And we know that also, that we have come to know him, that we have been saved by the grace of God, because Jesus is still saving. Jesus is still speaking. And many of us have heard his voice. It should not be so unusual to think that we could hear the voice of God. Maybe not audibly, but yet he speaks still the same. He speaks to our hearts, and God is drawing. The Bible declares that there is a call coming from Calvary that still goes out today. "Come unto me, ye that are burdened and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is still calling. Jesus is still coming to us. Jesus is still speaking. Jesus is still moving. Jesus is still working. The Bible says that the church is the body of Christ, meaning that we are the physical representation of Jesus here on the earth. But it's not just people. It's people that are filled with the Spirit of God, that are led by God, with Christ as our head. And through, this is a great representation of the power, the resurrecting power of Jesus. Look around you. How many of you have been saved by the grace of God? How many of you know Jesus? I mean, just in this room, and think about how many people there are all across this land that would raise their hand and say, "I know Jesus. I have heard his voice. He has saved my soul." And like the Apostle Paul, we would say, "I count all things but rubbish compared to the excellency of knowing Jesus." Wow. Jesus, after he was crucified, transformed the world. I mean, the mighty power of God through the resurrecting power of Christ. He has changed the world. He's transformed it. Brought life to it. The Apostle Paul said that I might know him. So when he said he wanted to know him, what he meant, he already knew him. He wanted to know him more deeply. And that's the hunger. One of the evidences of being born again is that you have an inward desire to know more about Jesus. You have a longing for him, a love for him. The Bible says that we have a love about us when we're born again. There's something that changes on the inside when we get saved. The Apostle Paul said, I want to know him. He already knew him, but he wanted to know him more deeply. He wanted to know the power of the resurrection. That's what I want to maybe take just a few moments to talk about this morning. What is the power of the resurrection? Well, the power, the word power means, it's from a Greek word, dunamis. Dunamis. That sound kind of familiar to you? Sound like another word. Dynamite. Dynamite. Power. When I think about dynamite, what strength? What ability? What power to move? You know, when they can't get anything else to move something, they put dynamite behind it and it moves it. Dynamite. Power. He said, I want to know the power, the ability, the strength of the resurrection. Well, what is the power of the resurrection? Been thinking on this. It might mean a lot of different things, but one thing it certainly means is that as Christians, we have the hope of immortality. We have the hope of immortality. Meaning, we also are not going to die. Think about it. How much power is there in a person's life if they don't have to fear death anymore? My friend, because of what Jesus did raising from the dead, he overcame death, hell, and the grave. The tomb is empty, but it means more just than just Jesus is alive. Through him, we also are alive. Amen. And we're not going to die. A lot of talk about wars and rumors of wars today and fighting. Hey, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you don't have to fear death anymore. Because we have the power of the resurrection in our hearts. We want to know more about that. Are you afraid to die? You don't have to be afraid to die. Jesus can give you eternal life where you don't have to be afraid to die. The power of the resurrection is a power over death, is a life that's within us that goes through this life and to the next. The hope of immortality. You know, for the Christian, our hope is this. Our bodies are going to die. You say this man is delusional up here in the pulpit because look at him aging. He's obviously moving closer to the grave. He's going to die. My friend, my body will go back to the dust from whence it came, but my soul is alive forevermore. Amen. I found the fountain of youth inside of me. It doesn't transcend on my body yet, but one day it will. But I'll tell you this, my soul that is who I am, my being, will continue to be in the presence of God now and past the time I take my last breath. I will live and live and forever live. And so will you if you know the power of the resurrection. There was a sermon at the conference I was at this last week, and he said, you'll die and die and never die. He was talking about hell. What a sad place hell is. Hell was not designed for you. Hell was designed as a place of punishment for the devil and his angels. The only reason a man or a woman goes to hell, hear me, the only reason they go to hell is because they reject the salvation that God has provided through Jesus. Our love of sin sends us to hell. God made a plan of salvation, not a plan of condemnation. God made a plan of salvation through Jesus Christ and extended it to everyone. He said, anyone that desires may come and drink of the water of life freely. That's what God did. But one of these days, all sin is going to be judged in the lake of fire. And we want it to be. It's sin that's causing so much heartache in this world. It's the sickness and disease and the crime and the hate and the violence. We want all of that to be destroyed so that we can go to heaven and enjoy a place that's not corrupted. Amen? We want that to happen. We want sin to be judged. But you don't want to go the way of sin. Because if you go the way of sin, you'll be judged with your sin. The Bible says that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What that means is that God doesn't want you to die in your sins. He wants you to know the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ in your life. He wants you to know forgiveness of sins. He wants you to have eternal life and hope, and that the fear of death would go away, that you might know the resurrecting power of Christ, the hope of immortality. One time, there was somebody that came to Jesus, and it was actually before he raised up Lazarus from the dead. And she was just telling Jesus, "You're kind of too late. He's in the grave, and he even is already smelling." It actually says he stinks in the King James. King James is more blunt. He stinks. If you'd only come sooner, there'd be hope for Lazarus. But there's not hope now because he's dead. When people die, it's final. There's no coming back. Listen to what Jesus said to her. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then he looked at her and said, "Do you believe this?" Boy, isn't that the eternal question? Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. And then he looks at you and he says, "Do you believe this?" You see, because it's through faith that we come to know the living, resurrecting power of Jesus. So, actually, the verse says this, and I'll go quickly, but it says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Boy, and I stewed on this. I thought, well, is he wanting to know the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death? Actually, I think what he's saying is that he wants to know the power of the resurrection, and he wants to, through that, understand the fellowship of his sufferings and be made conformable unto his death. Let me get to the point here. When he says the fellowship of his sufferings, meaning that he wanted not just to enjoy the power of the resurrected life, but he knew that he needed to be willing to wear the crown of thorns the same way he was willing to wear the crown of glory or righteousness. Isn't that interesting? That if he was going to know the resurrecting power, he also needed to know what it was like to suffer with Christ. And Hebrews says it this way, that Jesus, it says we need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what the Apostle Paul was saying is part of knowing the resurrecting power of Jesus is to also know and be in fellowship with his sufferings. To be willing to suffer with him is to later be glorified with him. And also this, that we have a death. Being made conformable in the likeness of his death means that we, when we're saved, we don't just receive life, but we also have a death that occurs. Our old man dies, and we then come to new life in Christ. And that's how we know the resurrection power, is because we die to self. We take up our cross and we follow him, and we ourselves, our old man dies, and we come alive to something new. Why is that important? Because the salvation of Jesus Christ is not just that we are sick and are made better, but that we die and are given new life. Are you burdened in the sins of your life and feel like God would never forgive you? I've got good news for you. That old man has to die anyway. It just has to completely go away. You don't just come to God and get better. No, you die to your old life and you come alive to your new one. And that's what it is to know the resurrecting power of Christ. I'm not who I was. I may not be everything I want to be, but I'm not who I was. There's two chapters in my life. There was the first chapter, me trying to live by my own strength, my own way, by the power of the flesh, without Christ. Then God saved me, and he started everything brand new. Then I was walking in the power of God and the resurrecting power of Christ, a new life within me, and the old things were passed away, and behold, everything became new. And that's what God has to offer. That's what it is to know the resurrection power in your life, that you have a death. My friend, there has to be a time where you die to the old man, where you finally acknowledge to God that the way that you're doing it with your own strength and your own power won't make it. I can't do it myself. I've tried, and I don't have peace with God. You lay it down. You lay it down, it dies. It's killed, it's mortified. And we want it to be, because that old man that we were wasn't worth keeping. He said, all these things that I did, I was a Jew and I was a Pharisee and I was blameless and all this stuff, he said, was just dung. It just had to go away. It had to die. And for him, it died on the road to Damascus. Because the Lord came to him and began dealing with his heart. And he finally just couldn't take it anymore. And he was on the ground. He said, who are you, Lord? Did you notice he used the word Lord? He knew who it was, but he wasn't willing to acknowledge it. That I am Jesus whom you have been persecuting. It is hard for you to continue to kick against the pricks. Boy, when you're lost, that's just exactly what you're doing. You're just kicking. You're just fighting against it. Like, just get it to go away. One of the indications that your soul is lost is when someone is preaching the gospel about Jesus Christ and you can't wait for it to be over. How do you know? How do I know that? I used to be lost. I used to be lost. And when people would talk about Jesus, it condemned my heart. I hated it until I called upon the Lord and I got saved.
Amen.
Then new life came in. That's the resurrected power. That's the power that came from the empty tomb. That's the salvation that we all need. I felt like I was born again. I felt like I was living for the very first time. Did anybody have that feeling? That's a good feeling. Yeah, that's a good feeling. Man, I just can't do it. Man, I just wish that, I wish religion would go away. It just produces so much guilt. Two, whew, all that burden is gone, and what they were preaching to me wasn't really supposed to be condemning me. It was offering me a way of hope, of immortality. And when I finally laid it down and I called on the Lord, I knew life for the very first time. That's what Paul meant. I was hoping I'd be able to get it out, and I think I did. That's what he meant by resurrecting power. The new life is the power of the resurrection, and it's the reason that we're all celebrating today. One more scripture I want to read, and then I'll be done. In Romans chapter 8, it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that word means make alive, your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. What that means is once you have the spirit of God inside of you, you have the resurrection power inside of your heart. And that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead now lives inside of you, and he will make you alive to God. While you're here. You see, he was talking about while you're here. The hope of the resurrection, yeah, it's in the future that when I die, I won't really die. I'll go to heaven. I'm going to live forever. But look, that doesn't wait until the day we die. The day you get saved, you get the Spirit of God inside of you and you get resurrecting power in your life.
Amen.
To where you come alive to God. And you notice it because of the drastic change that takes place in the way you see everything. It's like the light comes on. And the things that you used to hate, now you love.
The things that you used to find to be a burden now are a joy. And the things that you used to find that you thought brought happiness, that stuff doesn't do it for you anymore because you found something better. You found the pearl of great price. And that's why we're celebrating today. Because we have come to know personally the resurrecting power of Christ in your life, in our life. And I want you to know this. We want everybody to know it. There's this rumor going around that the church just closes in and doesn't want anybody else to come in. That it's just a bunch of saints that don't understand the world. I want you to know what the church really is. The church is really a bunch of sinners that came to know the resurrection power of Christ in their life.
Amen.
And they want you to know it too.
Amen.
And the one that saved us, we would have this testimony. If he was willing to save me, he's willing to save you. The resurrecting power of Christ, that I may know him. That I may know him. Well, I'm ready to worship because I know him. And as I close here, I just want you to hear this. Knowing him means everything to us.
Amen.
The only thing that matters is knowing him. Because through him, everything else comes alive. And without him, no matter how much we have life in this physical body, it's just dead. But praise God, our Savior is alive, and he lives in every one of his children. Amen. Why don't we have a song? Why don't we stand together? Why don't we worship the Lord this morning and praise him for what he's done for us, but more importantly, for who he is. We serve the living God.
Amen.
As we all stand.
Number one, white folder. Number one.